Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast.
One of the things that Harvard has done is we've decided to not put a lot of effort into our front end of our own repository, but instead we're putting a lot more effort on the back end of our repository to make sure that our data is being pushed out to search engines, indexing services, places like Google Scholar.
That's Sue Kriegsman, Program Manager for the Office of Scholarly Communication at Harvard University Library. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE, and I spoke with Sue at the Coalition for Networked Information Spring Member Meeting in Baltimore, Maryland.
Four schools or more at Harvard have adopted open access policies for their scholarly articles. Could you tell us what drives the decision to choose open access?
Well, at this point, we actually have five schools at Harvard who have adopted these open access policies, and there are a few other schools who are still looking to adopt open access policies. I think a lot of this is because the faculty want to support teaching and research. They have recognized that having open access policies and sharing their work with a broader community brings more focus on their own work, but also gives them another platform to share out the kind of work and research that they have been doing. It's good exposure for the faculty. They certainly want their work out there, which is why they're in a teaching field to start with. And they continue to be moving this forward. We're seeing an increase in usage of the materials that have already been deposited in our open access repository, and we are continuing to get submissions from the faculty as their interest is increasing in the kind of work that we've been doing.
How does an open access policy translate into infrastructure and process of an institution?
Well, I think every institution's handling this a little differently, and even at Harvard, with the schools that have passed the open access policies, everybody's handling this a little differently. You know, there's process for outreach and data collection and storage and preservation. At Harvard, the Office for Scholarly Communication was actually developed after the Faculty of Arts and Sciences, which was the first school to pass an open access policy, was put into place. So the idea was to have a centrally supported department who can really look at this across the schools. It's being run out of the university libraries, which does have sort of infrastructure and IT that supports all the different schools at Harvard because they do all operate independently of each other. But the outreach itself at the different schools has changed. Some of the schools really want their library staff and their librarians to be doing the outreach to their faculty to collect data to be put in the repository. Harvard, through the Office of Scholarly Communication, has a team of students we can utilize to go and knock on doors of the faculty to actually collect materials. Some of the schools are taking advantage of that. Some of them are not interested in that as much, and they really want to leave it to their own existing relationships that they have with the faculty. You know, everybody is sort of handling it a little differently, and I think that just has to do with different cultures at different schools and different universities and institutions, because there's certainly no one single method that's working anywhere in order to collect data and help support open access policies.
So what are the funding considerations around open access publishing?
So some of the funding considerations around open access publishing have to do a little bit with if a university is going to sort of start supporting their own open access content, to have a repository to store that, a way to push that out. One of the things that Harvard has done is we've decided to not put a lot of effort into our front end of our own repository, but instead we're putting a lot more effort on the back end of our repository to make sure that our data is being pushed out to search engines, indexing services, places like Google Scholar. So when somebody comes to Google Scholar, they're going to hit on materials that we're storing in our repository. The other thing that's happening with the open access publishing is sometimes if somebody's publishing an open access journal, they may have an author's fee associated with that. Harvard was one of the first groups to join on to something called the Compact for Open Access Publishing Equity, COPE, and that states that we as a university will provide a durable, sustainable model for supporting open access publishing. So Harvard has established a fund that if an author wants to publish in an open access journal and they have an author fee, that Harvard will help pay for that if it's a pure open access journal, not a hybrid journal. So we're not only are we sort of trying to store and distribute our own scholarship, we're also then trying to help other journals produce open access publishing so more people have more access to the scholarship that's being produced.
Well, who pays for the new implementation and staff surrounding that?
From folks I've talked to and what's happened at Harvard is we're having a combination of the provost's office and the university libraries are supporting the funding for this. I haven't heard of sort of other models. I think everybody's sort of trying to figure out if this is going to fit into existing departments and infrastructures or if this is something that needs to be spun off new. At Harvard, we've sort of done a combination of the two, you know, started a new department, but put it under existing university libraries in a place where it really made sense and can support all of the schools from a central place at Harvard.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does Harvard plan to measure the success of open access?
I think one of the things that we're doing to measure success is we're looking at how many articles we're getting into the repository. And I think that's an indication of the kind of support we're getting from faculty. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we're also need to coax faculty to put it in, not because they aren't supportive of the open access policy, but just because this is one more thing they have to do. And so we're trying to find ways to make it as seamless as possible for the faculty to start depositing their materials. We're also looking at usage statistics. How much are the materials in our repository actually being utilized? And we're finding that it's been very positive. We're getting a lot of use out of these materials, so we feel that this has been important work at this point. The big change that's going to need to happen is just the faculty have to build this into their standard operating procedure, and I think that's just going to be a long process until we figure out. It's a big culture shift, but we're getting there. You know, where we are now from where we were a year ago, people said, open access policies, yes, I remember voting on that, maybe, but what does that really mean? And where we stand now, people are saying, oh, yeah, the open access policy, you know, I need to get you my materials, and, you know, here's the best way to work with me to get that done. So it's been very positive.
Oh, that's great. Are there any drawbacks that you see to adopting open access?
None.
Look, that's a great note to end on. So, Sue Kriegsman, Program Manager at the Office of Scholarly Communication at Harvard University. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You can find more podcasts like this by visiting www.educause.edu/podcasts or find us on iTunes by searching for EDUCAUSE. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.